Amen. I hope you're amazed tonight about the wonderful grace of Jesus, amen. About the awesomeness of God, the beauty of God, and hope you never ever get over the fact that Jesus Christ died and rose again for you. Hope you never ever get over that. Hope you're still amazed every single day why a Savior would do that for you, and I'm amazed every single day of my life why He would do that for me. I'm going to throw a little wrench in tonight. Do we have any testimonies or any blessings of this week? Here, I got a couple more here. Microphones you can use, but Jeremy. Has anyone got a testimony tonight of anything God's done for you this past week or anything? I got one. The man who came in here this morning, Brother Tom, I met him yesterday. I invited him to come to church. I was walking down the streets over by where Anaya lives and passing out VBS flyers. And I got to meet him and a couple other people, give him a track, invite him to church. And, you know, he just left. They left their bikes. A few moments later, I was walking down the street and he caught up with me and he said, "Hey, you know, can your church help me out with some food? You know, I don't have any food." And many of y'all know that how people come to the church just wanting money and wanting stuff like that. But I said, "You know what, I'll tell you what, if you come to church tomorrow, I'll help you out, okay?" And it was just a privilege and a blessing to be able to witness to someone and give them. I asked if he was saved. He said he was saved at a young age, but he's probably just gone away from the Lord, going through a hard time right now. But I'm just glad that he was able to come this morning, Brother Brett. Glad for Brother Brett running the buses and bringing the kids to church and helping him to come to church. So that was a blessing for me. Anyone else have a blessing or a testimony? Ms. Connie?
The lady that we've been praying for, Lavana, she has cancer and she went through chemo. And she actually is going to be coming back to work tomorrow.
Amen.
I'm on vacation this week, but I'm glad she's coming back to work.
Amen.
You know, it's a blessing that she's going to be at work.
Amen. That's good. Amen. That's awesome. It's a great testimony. Brother Joe.
Yesterday, Jeremy and I were doing the Bible handout, and there was next to the last person that came in. There's a man pulled in a little blue service truck, and I started to get up and walk over to him, and he backed into a parking space out here, and he come over and he told I gave him a Bible and got to talking to him and. He was telling me that him and his wife had just had a little girl, he said, here recently, and they were looking to maybe start going to church. And so I asked him if he were to die today, you know, that he'd be 100% sure he'd go to heaven. And he said, I got my doubts about that. Well, anyways, I was able to talk to him. And showed him the plan of salvation and everything, and he asked Jesus to come into his heart and save him.
Amen.
And I asked him, I said, "Well, can you write your address and stuff down on this card and write down what you did?" And he said, "Yeah." So he wrote it down and wrote his address down. He wrote down that I got saved, you know.
Amen.
And I hollered at Jeremy was there. Yeah. I hollered at Caleb and told him, and then I told him.
Amen. Yes,
so
sir. Yes.
It was a blessing.
Yes, that is a blessing. Thank you for doing those Bible handouts, Brother Joe, and Brother Jeremy headed that up. That's really truly a blessing, and it's a smart idea, too. I would never have thought of that, but it's a very smart idea. So anyone else got a testimony? Brother Jeremy, go ahead.
Going along with what Brother Joe was talking about on just witnessing to that guy and then talking about, you know, having 100% assurance that he'd be in heaven. Something that's been heavy on my heart, you know, really the last couple of years was my son. As y'all know, my son passed away March 28th, 2021. And at 6 years old, he got saved.
Amen. And amen.
I tell you what, it is such a blessing to me to know that I can live my life knowing that I will see my son again one day.
Amen.
It is something that drives me, but also along with that, it got me the thought process of, I don't want my son's death to be in vain. So I'm going to do what I have to do to prepare myself to do what I need to do to get to where I need to be.
Amen.
But having said that, how much more does the Lord not want his son's death to be in vain? And that should be, that is also my drive.
Amen.
To do what I need to do to be who I need to be. Because I don't want my Lord's death to be in vain.
That's right. Amen. That's good. That's good, Brother Jimmy. You think the gospel doesn't work? Well, he's a walking testimony of the gospel that works in someone's life. It truly does work. It does. Felicity, you got one? Pray for VBS? Yes, we are definitely going to pray for VBS. I'll pray praying we don't have 100 so I don't have to swallow a goldfish. No, I'm not going to do that. No. The more the better. We want kids in here. We definitely want all those kids. But yes, pray for VBS. Pray that the Lord will use it in a great and mighty way. Any others? Any others tonight? Mrs. Watson?
First, I want to stand up and praise my Lord and Savior for my salvation.
Amen.
And I want to thank each and every one of you for all your prayers. Because my mother, you would not believe her today. She'd had that pacemaker and then she had a setback. But today, she's going strong. She's cooking her meals. Amen. She's watching the preaching online because she's not able to get out. But I just want to praise every one of you for all you've done for us and all your prayers, because Amen. God answered those prayers.
Yes, amen. That's good. That's awesome. Brother Brandon?
July 26th of 1996, anniversary of just this last year, that's when I got saved.
Amen.
7 years ago, a man by the name of Mark Gondren, a friend of my dad's, led me to Christ. And so
Amen.
Forever changed my life, and I just, every year, I normally get past the date and then reflect back that, oh yeah, it's another year that I've been saved. So just Amen. Praise the Lord for that.
Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. 24 years ago, right? 24 years? 27 years ago. Sorry. Can't do math. Any other testimonies? We got one other testimony tonight. Miss Linda?
I want to thank all of you for praying for John and me and stuff over the years. Some of you know, some of you don't know. Hospice is taking him over, and things will be taken care of. And it just seems so strange for me, you know, because the Lord has made it such a blessing. It for me to go home this year, it is the easiest year, and I don't have the stress. I don't have, you know, I mean, it's just like, wow, you know, the sky opened up and it's a different world or whatever. And I just want to thank all of you for all your prayers and everything that you did to help me get here. I still care about John, still will take care of him and stuff, but sometimes you just need a break, and going home is always my break. So besides Amen. you guys are always my break too.
Amen. All right. Thank you for those testimonies tonight. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. See some pictures of Pastor on his vacation. And I heard Matthew, he lost his car keys while he was up there. And that's the only set he had. But I believe he got them back. So praise the Lord for that. So you can't really do anything much in college when you don't have your car keys. So, but be in prayer for them. Be praying for them as they head back tomorrow. And they should be back by Tuesday. So be praying for them. Ezekiel chapter 22. And we'll read two verses here. Verse 30 and 31. It says there, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the Lord, for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." Let's go ahead and lead in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you, Lord, for these people showing up, coming to church. Lord God, I ask and I pray that you would be with the troubled hearts, if there's someone with a burdened heart, Lord God, here tonight, I pray that they would lay their heavy burden down at the cross and continue on with their life. Lord God, I pray and I ask that you would bless this service. Help it to be honoring and glorifying to you. Help these people, Lord God, to hear from you and not from me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30 through 31. I'll give you a little backstory of what's going on here. Ezekiel's a prophet from God, and Ezekiel, the prophet, is talking about the children of Israel who are taken in captivity. They've been taken into the Babylonian captivity, and they have him have them under their own rule. At this time, the children of Israel have gone away from the Lord. Maybe they've put up some idols in their life that they don't believe, that they believe that the idols are better than God. Maybe they've done something. Maybe they backslid him from God and done what's wrong and done what they think is their right way and the Babylonian way, which is not God's way, and they've backslid him from God. And Ezekiel's saying here, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. I sought for a man. I sought for one person who would serve the Lord. I sought for one person who would do what's right. I sought for a person who would stand in the gap. I sought for someone who would do what's right and who would do what the Lord wants them to do. But it says there, he found none. There was no one who would do what's right." And as the children of Israel are living in the Babylonian captivity, and this is after they came out of Egypt and God did the many wonders of, and he did the, parted the Red Sea for them, and he brought them out of that captivity of the Egyptians, and he brought them into a land flowing with milk and honey, and he did all these things for them and all the many miracles that he worked for them, and he provided them manna from heaven to fall down from the sky and gave them food and gave them plenty of water to drink and always, always, always took care of his children. And by the way, God will always, always, always take care of you tonight. God will always, always, always be there for you. Stay faithful to God. It may be hard. It may be trialsome. It may be something's happened in your life. But always, always, always stay close to God, and God will always take care of you. But in this scenario, the children of Israel have backslidden. They've gone from their way. And he sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. And I want to talk to you about standing in the gap. Stand in the gap. I've heard many commentaries about this verse and read some myself and heard some sermons off of them. And when they talk about, "I sought for a man that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap," he's talking about prayer. He's talking about interceding for somebody else. Interceding for your coworker, maybe. Interceding for your family member. Interceding for that one person who's gone off into the deep end and not serving God anymore. And when you bring them to God, when you get on your knees and you pray for them and to God, you're standing in the gap for them. You're standing in the gap for them when you go to God and you say, "Lord God, they're in your hands and I'm praying for them. And Lord God, please bring them back to you. Or Lord God, please have them be saved. Or Lord God, please help them, help their life, help their family," whoever it might be tonight. But you're the one who's standing in the gap. You're the one who's petitioning your prayer to God to help them out. Because the God, just like I preached this morning, God is a merciful God. God is Almighty God. And you have a one-way line connection towards God. The Mormons don't have that. The Buddhists don't have that one-line connection. But I'm so thankful that I can go into the throne room of an Almighty God and take my prayers and my burdens and my trials, and I can lay them at the cross, and I can tell God all of my issues. And I have a friend in Jesus. There's no greater friend in Jesus. There's no greater friend in God. But he's saying here, "I sought for a man. I sought for someone who would do what's right. I sought for someone who would pray for the children of Israel to bring them out of captivity, but I found none." You know, I hope that God never says to the United States of America that I sought for a man and I didn't find one man who was righteous. Listen, if all the world were to go the opposite way, if this whole church were to go a charismatic way, if this whole Baptist crowd were to start going Southern Baptist and start getting off the old paths, I'll still stand for what's right. I'll still stand for the book. I'll still stand for Genesis all the way to Revelation on the King James Bible and what it says and its foundation and its principles. I won't lose my standards. It doesn't matter if you go off into the deep end or not. It doesn't matter if other people do what's wrong or not. And the children of Israel are looking at other things and what the Babylonians have, and they're not giving glory to God. He says, I sought for a man. I sought for someone to intercede for these children of Israel, but I didn't find anyone. God is looking for a Sunday school teacher to stand in the gap. God is looking for a teacher to stand in the gap. God is looking for a preacher to stand in the gap. God is looking for a youth leader to stand in the gap. God is looking for a teenager to stand in the gap. God is looking for a godly wife to stand in the gap. God is looking for preachers' wives. God is looking for missionaries and missionaries' wives to stand in the gap. The people in Africa, God is looking for someone to stand in the gap for them. God is looking for someone to stand in the gap of the United States of America for the people who will intercede and who will pray for our nation, who will pray for our president, who will pray for our family members, who will bring them before God and say, God, please help them, because there is not a day that goes by where they don't need you. And I sought for a man. I sought for a man. Tonight, be a man. Now, ladies, I know, I'm not talking to you about that. Don't be a man. Don't put on a pair of pants and be a man. Don't do that. I'm not saying do that tonight. But I'm talking to the men to be a man. Stand up. Stand up for the truth. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for the Bible. Stand up. And you ladies can do the exact same thing. You can stand up for what's right. You can stand up for the King James Bible. I hate watching Christians, a sin that flies by their face, and they say, oh, I missed that one. Oh, I missed that sin. Oh, I saw someone doing wrong there, but I didn't tell them that that's wrong. I saw someone lying there, but I don't want to get into any of that. That's just a sin that's on them. No, we need someone who will stand up for what's right and tells people the truth. Tell people the Bible. Stand in the gap. Someone who will stand in the gap. If someone will stand in the gap, maybe God may not pour out his indignation upon them. Because it says there, therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Are you going to stand in the gap? Who's going to stand in the gap for the bus kids who come here every single Sunday? Who's going to stand in the gap for those VBS kids who come here and who pray for them every single Sunday? I tried when I was at Bible college, my bus kids, I would try every single day. And many of you have been through college and the rough time schedule. Oh, it's pretty rough, but I'm not complaining or anything, but just having that time to pray for them and bring them up to God. Listen, they have parents who don't really care about them. They have people in their lives who could throw them on the side of the street and just leave. They really don't care about them. But when you go to the throne room and you bring them before God, God says, oh, I hear that prayer. Oh, I know who you're talking about. I want to bless them. I don't want to put indignation upon them. Because when you go to God in prayer, that is when God will see them and will bless them. Some ways that I can show you to stand in the gap for someone today is, number one, is by praying for them. In Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray for your family. Pray for your country. Pray for your church. You're bringing them to the throne room of God. You're bringing them to God Almighty, who knows what's in their heart, who knows what they need. And when you pray for someone, you're standing in the gap for them. You're standing between the gap. Listen, we've had too many people who have fallen in the gap. Maybe they've fallen in the gap because someone hasn't lifted their name up on high and told God about them. There's a lost person who's sitting there and no one ever prays for them. No one ever talks. Yes, God knows who they are. God sees them. But if God pricks your heart, if God says, hey, you need to pray for that person, you need to help that person, bring them to church, bring them a meal or whatever it is, I beg you to please pray for that person. You don't know the impact that you have. You don't know the impact that you'll have for eternity if you would just stop and pray for someone. We get so busy in our lives nowadays. We gotta work to make our money to pay our bills, and that's all fine. I agree with that. But if that job is taking you away from your walk with God and your prayer time with God, that's wrong. You should cut back on your hours. You should do something about that. You should make sure, make prayer a priority. Make prayer the top of your list. Make God first in your life. Make others first in your life. Put them up the top of your list. Make prayer a priority. Number two, another way how you can help stand in the gap for other people. Stand for what's right. Stand for what's right. Stand for the King James Bible. Stand for the truths and the foundations that you have been built upon as a little child all the way up until your deathbed. Stand for the Word of God and what it says every single day of your life. Now, I'm not saying be a harsh Christian and not to be mean to others, but you can stand in love. You can do what's right in love. You can say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to live a wicked, sinful life. I'm not going to follow you, Babylonian people. I'm going to serve the Lord God. If everyone else on this whole wide earth is going to do what's wrong, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give in to you, Satan. I'm going to do what's right. Stand for what's right. Because he's seeking for a man that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap so that others won't fall in. Don't let him fall in, Christian, this morning. Don't let him fall in tonight. Don't let him fall in the gap. Daniel stood in the gap when the king made a decree that all should worship him. Daniel stood and he said, I'm not ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of what God has done in my life. And I'm going to open my windows and I'm going to pray for this city. I'm going to pray for the king. I'm going to pray for this nation. And they came and they spied on Daniel and they saw him as he was praying to another God that they didn't know. And they brought him and they threw him into the lion's den, and God shut their mouths. God shut the mouths of the lion so that it wouldn't kill Daniel. And that's the power of God. That's what God can do when you pray to him. You see, before David was to stand before Goliath, I'm pretty sure he had a walk with God. When he slew that bear, when he slew that lion, he had to be in touch with God. There's no way on earth that we could slay a bear or slay a lion without God's help on our lives. I mean, you could use a gun to do it, but imagine your bare hands taking on a big old bear or a big old lion. That's unheard of. There's no way. But David walked with God, and when the Goliath stood before the armies of Israel, and he said, you know what? You think I'm a dog that I would worship you? You think I'm someone that's stupid? I mean, this little guy is attacking me? No, David stood for what's right. Listen, Saul was the king. He was head and shoulders above everyone. He didn't do what was right. He didn't stand up for what's right. He didn't do what was right. But David, as a little shepherd boy, stood for what's right. Teenagers, they can stand for what's right. You say, well, my parents are doing wrong. My sisters are doing wrong. My whole family's gone off the deep end. Stay in church. Stay doing what's right. Just like David did what was right. David stood against that Goliath who defied the armies of the living God. He stood against him. I think about Noah tonight and how he stood for what was right. And I think about the story of Noah and how much faith Noah had to build an ark. Tell you what, if I've never seen a drop of rain before and someone came and told me, hey, it's going to rain, and then it rained, and then it rained for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, I would think, you're crazy. You're nuts. You're insane. But Noah had faith because he knew that God told him, and he did what was right, and he lived for God, and he built the ark just the exact size that God wanted him to build it. And he brought those animals on so that he could save them, and God shut that boat. And I think of the people, the wicked people there. If I could give you an illustration, maybe there was a little boy who was living in that wicked city. And he said, Mom, what is that crazy man talking to us about? He's saying there's going to be a flood. There's going to be water. What, raining from heaven? Raining from the sky? He said, what is he talking about? His mom probably shoots him off, said, oh, yeah, that man's crazy. Don't listen to what he says. And the next day, Noah comes and warns him of the flood. And he tells him, you need to get on the ark and be saved from the flood. And that little boy says, hey, I saw Noah today, and he was talking about that again. She said, son, don't listen to him. Don't listen to that man. Well, I could see that little boy one day as he's walking home, as a raindrop comes from the sky and it just drops. He goes, what in the world? What was that? And then another one drops, and another one drops, and then before long, you know it, it's pouring down rain. And that little boy runs home to his mommy and daddy, and he looks at him and he says, "Mom, what is this? I've never even seen this stuff before." And they say, "Oh, it's just coming from the sky. It's just falling down." He goes to bed that night. He wakes up the next morning, and he can see it, and the water's a little bit higher. The water's probably about 2 or 3 feet deep. It's probably his ankles deep. And he's kind of walking through the water. He's like, "Mom, what is going on here? Why, I've never even seen this happen before." His mom gets maybe a little bit worried in the back of her mind, thinking maybe Noah was right. Maybe what he did, God was right. And they go throughout their day not thinking anything of it. And the next day they wake up and the water's a little bit more higher, maybe up to their knees this time. And they maybe some panicking, maybe some worrying and saying, "Oh boy, here we go. Like, maybe Noah was right. I don't know though." And they go throughout their life, and the next day it starts to get up to their waist. And they say, "You know what? Something's wrong here. Something's off here. This has never happened to me before. Come on, we're going to the ark. We're going to the ark." And as those people stood, they probably came to the ark, and they probably banged on the door, and they said, "Noah, Noah, let us in. Noah, let us in." Don't be that Christian who says, "God, let me in. God, please help me." Be the Christian who will get in the ark, who will stay in the ark. No matter how crazy it seems, no matter how wildly the Lord leads you, if he leads you to a place called Timbuktu, go and do it, no matter how wildly or how crazy it is. Just do it. That's what Noah did, and Noah found favor in the eyes of God. But everyone who didn't drowned in that flood. They did not listen to the things of God, but it was because the earth was saved, was because one man found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man. All it takes tonight is one man to stand in the gap. For you fathers in here, you mothers in here, stand in the gap for your children. Stand in the gap. Pray for them. You have no clue what it means to the God up above and what it means to them if you will stand in the gap for them and will pray for them and will stand for what's right. Joseph stood whenever he was in Potiphar's house and that woman came and tempted him. And he ran out of there. Yes, he went to prison. Yes, he endured some heartaches. God never said you're not going to endure heartaches if you're a Christian. But God always will never give you more than what you can handle. And he gave Joseph just enough. He can handle it. And he became the second greatest leader in all of the world at that time because he stood for what's right. He stood for the Lord God. He did what was right. For you ladies, Esther stood. Esther saved the Jews from complete annihilation. She stood before that king. No matter if that king were to take his scepter and drop it down and they were to kill her instantly, or if that king were to say, "Come in, you can talk to me." You see, back then they just, like, the king would stand there with his scepter, and if he did anything with that scepter, I believe he dropped it or he put it down, then they were to execute the person who was talking to the king, just like that. And she didn't know if the king would listen to her or not. She didn't know. She was afraid of the unknown. But she knew that she had a God on her side. And whether she were to be cast into the grave or whether she were to live that day, she knew that she wanted to do what God wanted her to do. And Esther stood for what was right. I think of another man in the Bible named Job. Job stood for what was right. Even after all of his trials, even after all of his heartaches, all the terrible things that had been put on his life, he stood for what was right. He stood for God. He said, his wife told him, he said, "Curse God and die." He said, "I will not do that. I will not do that. Even though God will slay me right now, even though he kills me and takes me off this earth, I will still serve the God. I will still serve my God who loves me, who gave me breath. I will still serve him. He's still good." And you can be just like those people tonight. You can stand for what's right. You can stand in the gap and help your coworker come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can stand in the gap and help your family members come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand for what's right. Stand for what's right. My third and lastly point tonight is third point is do what God says. Do what God says. And this kind of goes along with my point number two, but as Isaiah 6:8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, Lord, send me.'" We need some Christians tonight who will say, "Lord God, I'm here, send me. Lord God, I am here, I will do your will. Lord God, I am here, I will live for you. Lord God, I am here, I will pray. I will intercede for my people. Lord God, I am here. I will do what you say. I will go where you go. I will do whatever you want me to do. I will witness to anyone you want me to witness to. Here am I, Lord. Send me. And all it took, if it was just one person in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, if it was just one person who would stand for what was right, may have saved the children of Israel, may have saved them from the indignation of the Lord that had been poured upon them. But do what's right tonight. Do what's right Monday. Do what's right Tuesday. Do what's right Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So every single day, every single minute of your life, do what is right for the Lord. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One look on his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race that we may see Christ. Run your race. Run your race. Do what God says in your life. If God told me and my wife tomorrow that we needed to pack up and be missionaries, we would start deputation right off the bat. If God told me to move to another church or another area, which I don't believe he has, then we and my wife will gladly do what the Lord wants us to do. I will do whatever God wants me to do. Do what God says. Pray for people. Stand for the truth. Do what God says, and you'll stand in the gap. I think of all the people, all the people who have prayed for you over your lifetime, you teenagers, you kids, you adults, and how they intertwine, they interlock, and they make that bridge so that you can cross that gap. So that you can go across that gap. And maybe that mother who's been in the prayer closet praying for you. Listen, I'm so glad I had a praying mother. I'm so glad that my mom would get in her prayer closet and pray for me. Because I may have not be here tonight if my mom did not intercede for me, or if my dad did not get on his knees and pray for me tonight. And I fear the same for my family too. That's why I want to intercede for them. That's why I want to pray for them. And all the parents and all the teachers who have done what's right, and they intertwine and they've prayed for those kids, and you can go across that gap so that you can go across. But there's coming a day in your life when you have to join the ranks, when you have to get on that bridge and intertwine with the rest of those people and pray for someone so that they can go across. You see, life is not about me. I'm not up here preaching a sermon because I want a pat on the back or I want a hand clap. I'm up here preaching tonight because I want to do what God says. I want to do what the Bible says, and I have a burning desire in my heart to tell people the blessed word of God and the blessed old book. This blessed old book is true from beginning to end. It's true from Genesis to Revelation. And do what God says tonight. I can't emphasize that enough. Stand for what's right. Pray for others. Do what God says in your life, no matter what he tells you to do. Get in the prayer closet. Pray. Read your Bible. Do what's right every single day, because God is looking for that one person who will intercede for someone else. You don't know the wrath that may come upon someone else, but if you intercede for God and say, hey, God, have mercy on their souls. You know, Jesus had mercy on your soul. God had mercy on your soul. I was headed to a place called hell. I was headed to torment. I was headed to torture. I was headed to torture, but Jesus took me. He took me out of the miry clay and put my feet on a solid rock, and I'm on my way to heaven now because of it. I don't have to suffer 1 minute in hell. I don't have to suffer 1 second with the demons in hell forever. Yeah, that's right, devil. You don't got me in your grip. God's got me in his hand. I'm not in the devil's grip anymore. If you're saved tonight, you're not in the devil's grip. But do what's right. Do what God says. There's many people who may stand before the great white throne judgment. And they may look at God and say, but so-and-so was supposed to surrender his life to God so that he could go to this place and he could witness to me, but he never did. He never did what God wanted him to do. He never went to that place and told that tribe. He never went to that church and told that kid who never accepted Jesus Christ. And that's on him. But do what God wants you to do. Do what God says. Be very yielding to the Holy Spirit when you're out. I think of everywhere I go. I mean, almost every place I go, the Holy Spirit says, give him a track. Give him a track. Give him a track. Give him a track. And I look in my pockets, and sometimes I don't have a track. But every time that I have a track, I pull that out and I give it to them. And I say, hey, I just want to invite you to church. And I'm not saying that because I'm someone tonight, but I want to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. I want to be yielded to God and whatever he would have me to do tonight. whatever he would have me to do, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever he wants me to do, be fully sold out to God and do what God says. Do what the Bible says. All inspiration is given, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. The Bible is the place to go whenever you need help. The Bible is the place to go in order for you to help figure out what God says and what he wants you to do. You don't need some priest to tell you where you need to go. You don't need some priest to tell you what you need to do. Let God tell you what to do. Yes, I'm all for counsel. Yes, I'm all for go to your pastor, go to your youth pastor, go to your mom and dad and get counsel, get help. But do what God wants you to do ultimately. If your parents say, no, I want you to sin, I want you to do wrong, I want you to do this, do what God wants you to do. I think of Abdel Judah, Brother Abdel Judah, up there at the youth director at First Baptist Church. And if any of y'all have heard his testimony growing up, how he lived in a wealthy home, his dad was a millionaire, multimillionaire, something like that. Don't quote me on that, but he was rich, he had money. And, you know, he told his dad one day, Dad, I'm going to Bible college. I've surrendered my life to preach. And his dad, you know what he said to him? He looked at him. He said, Son, you're throwing your life away. You're throwing your life today. And after that, his dad, I believe his dad never ever spoke to him again. And they converse every once in a while and back and forth. And he prays for his dad. But his dad still, at that this day that I know of, has still not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But only eternity will tell the many countless lives that that man has reached for Jesus Christ. And the many times where he's preached and you've heard the man of God, and not just Brother Judah, but many other great men, Dwight L. Moody and Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield, and how these men would preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and people would be saved and people would come to know Jesus. It's because he did what God told him to do. It's because he stood in the gap. They preached the Bible. They preach Jesus Christ. People don't need a lecture nowadays. People need the Bible. People need the King James Version Bible. You tell them the truth and they get mad, then that's on them. But at least you did your job and did what God told you to do. Just like these faithful people who did what was right in the Bible, how Daniel, Noah, David, Joseph, Esther, Job, and the list goes on and on of all the people who have stood in the gap for somebody else so that somebody else can be saved from the indignation that the Lord may have on their life. God is looking for that man. As I said before, God is looking for that faithful Sunday school worker who will come to church faithfully every Sunday morning, who will teach kids about the Bible. You don't know the impact that you have on those kids' lives when you come every single Sunday and you teach them about the Bible. You don't know the impact. You don't know the impact that you have on those teenagers that come and you teach them the Bible and they learn from it. You don't even know how eternity awaits and all the splendors of eternity when we get to there. When I look on Jesus' face, I'll wish I had given him more. When I look on God's face, I'll say, you know what? Why was I such a fool to not obey what God wanted me to do? Now I have to live here. And yes, you get heaven for all eternity, but don't let that be you. Don't do what God says. Pray for others and stand for what's right. Stand for what's right. It's a lost part in our country nowadays is that we need some people who will stand for the truth of the Word of God. If it says it, do it. If it says it, do it right away. Just stand. Just pray. Just do what God wants you to do. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes tonight. Some of you may be sitting in this service tonight and say, Brother Titus, I don't know that there's been a time when I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. There's never been a time where I've prayed to God and asked Him to save me in my sin so that I could go to heaven someday. There's never been a time where I believed the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross and rose from the grave for me. And He suffered those nails for me. There's never been a time where I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And if that's you tonight, would you please slip your hand up? I'd like to pray for you tonight. Amen. You can put them down. Some of you in this service tonight, though, would say, you know, Brother Titus, there's been a time where I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. There's been a time, there's been a day, there's been a place, Lord, where I've knelt and I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Don't ever get over that day. How many of y'all would say, Brother Titus, that's me tonight? Slip your hand up, say, that's me. I've been saved before. Amen. You can put your hands down. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you, Lord, for the people tonight. Lord God, I just want to be a help and blessing to them. That's all I want to be, Lord God, in my life. And help them tonight as they go through their week. Help them, Lord, to do what's right. Bless VBS this week as it's upcoming. Help the children and the kids, Lord God, to, if there's any of them that aren't saved, that they can go to heaven, I pray, Lord God, that you would help them, lead them to the Lord. Help them, Lord God, to be saved. Do a miraculous work, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to have the faith that you would want us to have, Lord God, to see kids come for VBS. Bless this church. Bless the people tonight. And as the piano begins to play,